Right, so back for a new season of the Hotspurs podcast. Carl, how you doing, Carl?
Yeah, good, thank you, Steve. How are you doing yourself?
Yeah, good. Right, so let me explain how this works. Phone call, two Spurs fans. Don't need any notes or to be an expert on anything. We just have a conversation, two Spurs fans. Is that all right?
That sounds good. One question though, Steve.
Yeah.
Do I have to agree with everything you say?
No, of course you don't.
Oh, well, this is going to be fun then.
Right, let's get going.
Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Thursday, the 11th of August, 2016. I am Steve in Leon C in Essex, and we've got a new co-host for this week. It is Carl Gwilliam. How are you, Carl?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Steve. Hello to everybody out there.
Let's get it straight away then. So you are somebody that I sent a little tweet out because Colin's not available this week. I said, who wants to be on the show? You were first back. And then I realised that actually you were someone that wanted to set your own podcast up. So, you obviously got a lot to say, which is great. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and why do you support Tottenham?
So obviously my dad was a lifelong Spurs supporter, and we grew up about 5 minutes from the ground. And as you do, as I've done with my boy now, it gets passed down, the rite of passage. So we've just grown up, had season tickets for a long while. So Spurs has kind of been our life.
Ah, superb. All right then. And we obviously, new season coming up. Everton tomorrow, or if you're listening to this today or yesterday, whenever. So let's get straight into it then. What are your thoughts?
That's going to be a tough one, Everton. You never know what Everton you're going to get, to be honest. Last year they could be great, or other weeks they could be poor. I felt last year we dominated them up at their place. So, a tough start, but I'd like to think we could get 3 points out of that.
All right. You reckon 3 points. I'm not so sure because, like you say, you never know what Everton you're going to get. Let's look at the team. I mean, what team are you looking to go for? Obviously, Dembele is out. So you're looking at 4-4-2 with Janssen up front, or 4-3-3. What do you reckon?
Or I think we'll stick with the 4-3-3 potentially.
4-2-3-1. Let's get it right.
Yeah, the 4-2-3-1 I think is the more likely, with Wanyama and Dier sitting, and then Lamella, Eriksen, and I'm not sure who's going to play the other side. With probably Eriksen on the left, Ali pushing forward with Mr. Kane up front.
Right, okay. So you're happy that Ryan Mason's going to hand in a transfer request on Monday morning because he's not been picked?
Yeah, I don't think we'd be too disappointed with that, would we? Would we be too worried?
Well, I don't know. Thing is, I listened to our show over the summer from this time last year, and actually Ryan Mason started the season really, really well. Lost his place and then, finished obviously absolutely dreadfully, and has got a lot to make up for. But he's looked half decent over, over the pre-season. I know they don't mean very much. And it's a bit of a shame, really, because he's a Spurs boy. And we like our Spurs boys, and I don't think he's got the mentality to sort of go, well, I haven't been picked for the first game, so I'm gonna go. But he won't be happy. I don't know. I play Wanyama, absolutely. But Ryan Mason might be it might be picked. You never know. That is something. Obviously some podcasts have debate, but get Wanyama straight in there. We've bought him, and that's the reason. Let's go to some questions here then. We've got the Spurs poet. What, in your opinion, will be a good season this year? Top four, cup run, or a good Champions League run? So what do you want for this year then, Carl?
For me, I really would be desperate for us to finish in that top four again and get Champions League for a second season, because it was great the first time, but then if you're not going to be in it consistently, you won't be able to attract the players that you want to attract to push on. So top four is my priority, I think, this year.
Was it last year as well?
Well, that kind of changed, didn't it? I wasn't too hopeful at the beginning of the season. I kind of thought fifth or sixth would be where we'd finish. But as the season went on, your aspirations kind of changed. So once it looked like we was potentially pushing top four was where we wanted to be. And when it looked like we was in the hunt for the title, then we wanted the title. And finishing third was kind of a kick down below as such in the end. So that changed last year about three times.
Well done on watching your swearing there, Carl. Very good, very good. As you know, family-friendly podcast. Good. Well, look, you know, they do change, and I'm going to have people saying to me, so I suppose it's, you know, League Cup again for you this year. But it's not, of course. You know, things do change. Priorities do change. You know, last year, I would prioritise the League Cup, and especially when we got Arsenal. I can't believe that you played such a bad side, but obviously we've talked about that already last season. This season, no, it does change. You know, you've got to look at, you know, if we don't get top four again, then, you know, we're a bit of a yo-yo club in and out of that Champions League place. But then again, how difficult will it be to get there with all the changes that are going on, all the brilliant managers that are coming in? Well, I say brilliant, you don't really know, do you? You know, hopefully one or two of them will muck up, and you know, that hilarity will ensue. But yeah, I'm with you. I think priority this year. I think, you know, let's not be deluded. League's a little bit out of our you know, way this year, just with all the tough fixtures. But top four would be the priority. I would say, you know, if we can get a trophy, fantastic. Again, not going to win the Champions League, but you know, you obviously going to play your best side in those games. And again, you know, so for this year, I think it's top four, then a trophy. Whereas in a couple of seasons ago, particularly with Arsenal winning those two FA Cups, you know, I really wanted to win a trophy last year. But hey, you know, this is our Spurs, and you know, it does change. That's the good thing about being a Spurs fan. You can change your mind. Right, Carl, let's go back to to these questions then. We've got Terry Hill. What will playing at Wembley over the next two seasons, will it hinder Spurs or help them out? What do you reckon, Carl?
Well, obviously, for me, there's a tinge of disappointment that we won't be under the lights at the Lane as such, especially in its last season around. But I guess we have to look at the fact 90,000 Spurs fans creating an atmosphere could be amazing for us. So with a little bit of luck, I think it could work in our favour.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I've been looking at, listening to other podcasts, and they're talking about the Wembley thing. And as you say, they're tinged with sadness because we can't play at White Hart Lane. But look, you know, some people are saying, will we get an atmosphere at Wembley? I mean, for goodness sake, can you imagine it? You know, the tube up there, all the Spurs fans getting off the tube. And the good thing is, you know, it's not 50-50 with a load of Chelsea fans, so that's great. Then the walk up Wembley Way will be absolutely brilliant. Be buzzing, you know, a Wednesday or a Tuesday night in a couple of weeks' time. I cannot wait. Then we get into the stadium, 90,000 Spurs fans. You mean to tell me that we're all going to be sitting there with our, you know, hands under our bums, just, you know, sort of all miserable, going, oh, I wish this at White Hart Lane. Of course it won't be like that. We're going to absolutely, you know, it'll be an amazing atmosphere. Whoever we're playing, Barcelona or one of the lesser teams in the Champions League, I'm telling you what, I cannot wait. It'll be absolutely brilliant. And if it's not, I'll be shocked. You know, they've got they've done it brilliant with the pricing, so that we can fill it out. But I think we would have done that anyway, quite frankly. You know, it's £80 or something for the three tickets. I think they could have done £80 per ticket, and it still would have sold out with all the Spurs fans I've spoken to. But that, yeah, that's really, really good. They've got a special singing section as well, which
Sorry,
is fantastic.
Steve.
That's right. They've got a special
Right.
singing section as well, which is a brilliant idea. And you know, and the one thing that about White Hart Lane that really annoyed me actually is, do you remember the AC Milan game, which was 0-0?
Yes.
Right. Most people said that was an amazing, amazing atmosphere. That was a fantastic night. Actually, do you know what? For me, I was grumpy most of that night because where my season tickets are, they actually moved us. And we've got fantastic season tickets, and I'm so lucky to have them. But for those, that game and then the Real Madrid game, they moved us right into the corner where the away fans sit. So from having the best seats at White Hart Lane to the worst seats at White Hart Lane. And I was sitting there with a lot of grumpy people around going, well, you know, We've sat here for 20, 25 years, 30 years, and the biggest night of our at White Hart Lane, and we have to sit in the corner. So it was a bit weird, really, which presumably they'd have had to do again this time round. So I'm dead happy because I've got my season tickets, tickets at Wembley. I'm on the halfway line, and I'm really looking forward to it. Has that made you feel any better, Carl?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. We've got some tickets there, and it should be a good spectacle. As you say, 90,000 of us in there will create such a special atmosphere, unlike when Arsenal were there. So, yeah, I think for us this is going to work, could work in our favour this year. And we've got to be there for things to move on for us as a club. So we have to make the best of it.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic. No problem with that. Kevin Pierce asks, what effect will Mitchell's departure have on Pochettino and the club? What does his departure say about Daniel Levy and our transfer policy? So first of all, going back a couple of years, obviously Baldini left and 99% of Spurs fans were shouting and cheering. And now Mitchell's left and 99% of Spurs fans are really upset about it. Can you in the buys, we're not going to go through them, but in the purchases that Baldini made and the purchases that Mitchell made, are we really talking about, every single player that Baldini bought was terrible and every single person that Mitchell bought was brilliant? Not for me, mate. What do you think, Carl?
Well, I think, I can actually agree with you on there. I mean, Baldini brought some signings that have actually proved to be really good signings. But that's like everything, isn't it? You're going to sign some good players. You're going to sign some bad players. I think Mitchell was brought in to do a job of setting up the so-called black box, the famous black box that Southampton had. And he's probably done that. And now it's time to move on and someone else will take that over. I don't see it being the end of Spurs all of a sudden. There's a lot of doom around it, but if Pochettino's been given more control over transfers, then I don't see that as being a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying about this this guy who we didn't get, who went to Chelsea, and that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. But I'm sorry, isn't he on something like 120 grand a week at Chelsea? He's an unknown. I think he made a couple of appearances in the Euros for France, and he looked a decent player. But are we really saying that we're going to pay that money? Sorry, but when Levy said, "Oh, unfortunately, Paul, he's going to Chelsea. He's on 120 grand a week." Paul Mitchell might go, "Oh, disappointing." But is he going to really get what you mean to tell me that he said, "Well, I haven't got anyone else on my list." No, sorry, your job is to find these players. And, people like Janssen, if he's going to turn out to be terrific, well done. But, do we give him full credit for that? To me, it seems a bit like, right, we need a striker. Who have you got on your list? And instead of like some player in Africa or someone that he's researched and, which is the way he's perceived, this little black book and, he goes all around the world trying to find these brilliant players. To me, all he's done, he's gone on the internet and said, who's the top scorer in European leagues? And he's seen Janssen at the top of the list and gone, all right, well, yeah, we'll have him then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. We're not going to be able to, players potentially are going to choose Chelsea over us at the moment, aren't they, with the wages that they're going to offer. And as you say, this guy was supposedly is going to look for players who fit a system. Well, Pochettino can do that just as well as this guy, can't he? Because he's the one implementing that system. So he knows what he's looking for. And how hard would it have been to find top strikers in Europe this year? Yeah. I think me and you could have done that, Steve.
Exactly. I mean, I know you brought on Toby Alderweireld, but he'd been on the radar for ages. And if you look back at the players that Baldini brought in, I mean, he brought in Ben Davis. He's been really good. He's brought in Eric Dier, fantastic. He's brought in Fazio, who's not been so good, or Stambouli. But Dele Alli, that was one of Baldini's ones. We sort of have a go at Baldini, but actually some of his signings were have turned out to be terrific. Not worried about that Mitchell going at all. I'm happy to leave it to Levy and to Pochettino to do our transfers. And recently he's come out and said that he's happy with the squad, which I think is hugely positive considering the fact that we normally spend so much money, and I bet all the players in the squad sort of go, well, wait there, why have we just bought six new players? Am I not good enough? I must flatten everybody. But this season, we're going about it a little bit differently. I'm quite impressed with that. If you'd have said anything, we need cover for Dyer and cover for Kane. And we've gone out and done that. So I'm really happy about that. East Spurs Thailand, which is our friend Jason McGovern. How big a role will Son play this season? Will he be part player or a genuine contender for a regular place? What are your views on Son?
Very much for me, jury is still out on Son. When we brought him, he obviously looked like he was, done well in Germany and was going to add quite a bit to the team. Started off quite well his first few games, but then he really kind of faded towards the end of the season and then started to become a little bit of a bit part player. And when we did see him, he was quite hit and miss some games. But I think this year will be a key year for him to see where he fits in with us as a club. So, yeah, jury's out on Son for me.
Not sure. But for me, mate, I like him. I think he's got something. I think he's an entertaining player to watch. Last season when Townsend left, it's almost like Spurs need a boo boy. And Son became that boo boy. He made a couple of dodgy passes or a couple of wild shots. And, where I sit up in the West Upper, people after about 5 minutes are like, get him off, get him off. And you feel like saying, oh, goodness, not again. We're not going to have this again. The poor lad's trying to make an impact and he's got a chance and, he's had a shot. Okay, it's gone miles wide, but at least he's trying something. But they don't see it, do they? They just see one mistake and it's like, oh, he's a load of rubbish. Son has got a great shot on him and I like him. He's got a good little bit of craft. You've seen that with the Watford goal, brilliant goal against Leicester in the cup. So, I think he deserves a chance. Obviously, at the moment with Lamella playing so well in pre-season, it's not going to happen straight away. But obviously he's up at the Olympics. But I really want him to do well. And he's a sort of player who, if he went somewhere else, I think we could live to regret it. So I think we should keep hold of him, definitely. And I'm looking forward to him having a really good season. And if he doesn't, so be it. But, I'd like him to do what Lamella did last season and really push on and almost take Lamella or Eriksen's space. I don't really mind, Like I've always said, my favourite players... If they get overtaken by somebody else, I've got no problem with that whatsoever. Right, so Dave 1042 said, if we are to complete the season, how many points would be acceptable after four games? Last season, we only had 3 points. I mean, if that happens again, Carl, 3 points after the first four games this season, Poch is out of a job, isn't he? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you'd be right there. He'd definitely be in trouble because if you look at our early fixtures, we really should be looking to make a strong start this season. I think, Everton and Liverpool in about the first five or so games are probably our strongest opposition. So I think this year we need to start strong, especially with the league the way it's going to be this year. And if we only had 3 points after the first four games, then I think Mr. Levy will be looking at that axe in the corner and starting to think about sharpening it.
Yeah, he's not afraid to, is he? And the Spurs fans as well. It's a Poch loving at the moment and everybody loves Poch. And as long as we keep Poch and all this sort of stuff, honestly, six games in, if we've got two or three points on the board, it's like, out, get someone else in. Mancini, he's out of a job and these players like that get name banded around. We'll see how we get on. Marcus Aurelius says Dembele or Wanyama. Obviously, Dembele suspended for the first four games. What are your views on Dembele, Carl?
Again, Dembele was a real enigma for me. When we first brought him, we looked like we had a real good signing on our hands and then he lost his way massively. But last year, the guy was just first name on the team sheet for me. You couldn't leave him out. And as soon as he's back again this season, he has to go straight in for me. The guy has become such an important part of what we do. And that's credit to him. It really is credit to him because at one point I wanted him gone.
Yeah, it's men against boys, as Jamie Redknapp said in that Liverpool game. The way he keeps the ball, and they've all said it, Yeah, absolutely fantastic, and to watch him play is just a joy. And it's, you know, there's these sort of players we want to see. You know, as much as we love Eric Dier and players with strength and power like Harry Kane, you know, he's not particularly, you know, you don't pay your money to go and watch those players per se. I mean, Harry Kane knocking it in, you do, but what you want to see is a little bit of flair. You know, I was talking on a sunbed with a Spurs fan over the summer about best ever Spurs side, you know, and in the end we're putting Gareth Bale at left back because we want to have Chris Waddle and Ginola in the side and Ozzie Ardiles and Gascoigne and Hoddle, and then you're sort of leaving out people like Dave McKay because you want it to be full on attacking and everything, which that's just the Spurs way. So you've got to have these flamboyant players, and Dembele is just a joy to watch, you know, wherever he is. And you know what? What would be nice if he did push him on a little bit? I mean, what an attack that would be if you have Kane with Eriksen and Ali and Dembele all up front, you know. And Lamella, if he's doing well, you know, and just Wanyama and Dier maybe at the back, you know, shoring things up and protecting that defence. You know, you can only play 11 players. I think I've named too many there, but you know, I'm looking forward to the way that these guys, you know, gel together and work together. We'll see what happens. Matthew Way asks, owners club or C-Bar? Owners club all the way. If you go to La Manga, you will know what that question means. Dan Jones asked about Colin being so good looking. He's not here to ask, unfortunately. But yeah, so Carl, are you quite a good looking chap?
Oof, you'd have to ask my missus there, Steve. I like to think so, though. I see a resemblance to David Beckham in the mirror every now and then.
Yeah, good, good, good. We only have good looking people on this podcast. We've got any more questions here? None that we've got here. Right, just let's do a little bit of admin here. So if you want to get in touch with us at the Hotspurs podcast or at Hotspur podcast, I can't remember what it is, but yeah, look us up, you'll find us. We're also on Facebook, please get in touch through us there. Andy Goldberg runs that page, but I'm at Hotspurs podcast. Colin's still there at Colin Spurs. What's your Twitter handle, Carl?
I think it's just at Cole Gwill.
Okay,
so at KGWILL.
Cool. And we've had a bit back and forth. So if you want to find Carl, have a look on our Twitter as well, and you'll be able to see in there. What else was I going to say? Yeah, we'll try and do the shows sort of once a week, once every couple of weeks. Depending on whether we win or lose, or you know, we'll see how we get on. Carl, I'm sure you'll be back on in the
Yep,
future.
it would be an honour. It would be an honour, Steve.
Yeah. Right. Is there anything else we need to talk about? I mean, with the Champions League, I know some podcasts were talking about the difference this year. You know, with Europa, how are we going to handle it this year? You know, for me, and I've said it before, so apologies. But it's all to do with motivation. I mean, just think about these guys, you know, on a Sunday, right? So say we've played on the Saturday. On the Sunday or the Sunday evening, you know, they're packing their bags and they're thinking about what's coming up this week. And the difference between, you know, jumping on a plane to go to you know, where it is, Belgium or you know, wherever it is, and but it's Champions League and it's you know, or Germany. It's Champions League, and they're meet the guys, and they go in, and you know it's on telly on the Tuesday or the Wednesday with all the other big teams and all their mates. You know, they're all playing as well in different locations. And a couple of their mates are playing in Europa on the Thursday. You know, what are they doing? They're texting them, aren't they? So they're saying, "Oh, enjoy your Thursday night, lads." I mean, the ribbing must have been tremendous. What's going on? And the difference between that and saying, what you know, oh, I'm away on Thursday because I've got to jump on a plane up to, you know, the Arctic Circle or wherever they have to play these games in front of 2,000 or 3,000 people with most of the youngsters, because a lot of the first team players won't be going. I mean, just the psychological difference between those two is absolutely massive, don't you think, Carl?
Oh, massively. As you say, if you want to be a top player, then this is where you want to be, isn't it? So you wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, this is what you want. This is what you're aiming and striving for. You want to be in the best. You want to play the best. So that's your motivation, isn't it? And you don't really care where you go to play that, as long as it's in this competition.
Absolutely. And then when you come back, you've got the league game at the weekend. And again, it's all about, players know how to manage their bodies. I see Arsenal, they go and play Champions League, then they play the league game at the weekend and they win both, don't they? We've seen it for the last 20 years and becomes frustrating and annoying. And you're desperate for one of these Arsenal guys to go and get injured, but they don't. I mean, a couple of years ago, they played the same back four for the entire season, and I don't see why we can't do that as well. And Arsenal, by the way, moan about injuries. Rubbish, absolute rubbish. They have one or two little injuries, and that's about it. What we need to do is play our strongest side. The motivation is that you're playing Champions League on a Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you are a Champions League side playing at the weekend. So you go to Chelsea, right? So I think we're playing a Champions League game, and then we're going to Chelsea. What do? You go into that, you walk through that tunnel, you go, oh, who did you play? Like, that have played on the Thursday or whatever, out in Azerbaijan. And that's your motivation, and you get the ribbing going. And, we're the ones now in the driving seat. We're the ones that can take the mickey out of those sides. And, we've got to take full advantage. We've got to be nasty. We've got to be horrible. And we've got to be the ones that doing all the winding up rather than being the laughing boys. What do you think about that, Carl?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Chelsea won't be playing anyone this year, will they, in midweek, other than the odd League Cup game? So, yeah, as you say, it's our turn to give them a little bit of stick, isn't it? And quite rightly, we deserve it. We're there, they're not. So let's rub their faces in it a little bit.
That's it. That's it. I was sitting having lunch a couple of weeks ago with a Man United fan, and me and my dad sort of said, "Oh, who you got in the Champions League? You going to the Champions League games?" And the two, this kid and his dad, and they sort of said, "Oh, what about the last 25 years or whatever?" It was like, "Okay, let us have our moment for good. This is our year. That's what we've got to take full advantage of it. Let's have a bit of fun. That's all I'm saying." Let's give it both barrels to all these teams that aren't in the Champions League, like they've given to us over the last few years. And we can start taking the mickey, and we've got to do it. We've got to do it without being too deluded. All right.
Sounds
So
good to me.
good. Anything else that we need to talk about, Carl?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much the early season there, Steve.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, look, I mean, obviously there's not been a game to talk about. I've rambled on a little bit. It won't always be this rambly. Carl, you've been brilliant. We'll have you on again, definitely. I think Everton, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think I can see us absolutely pummeling them, going 1-0 up, and then some soppy mistake at the back and it being 1-1. That's because I'm a Spurs fan, unfortunately. They won't have Ashley Williams available. They won't have Lukaku, looks as if he's out. Seamus Coleman, who I rate highly. And who's the perfect team to play when you've got all these things going on and your team's looking dodgy? Historically, Tottenham Hotspur. Let's hope we've turned that corner and we're not that team anymore. And then Palace next week, just in case we don't do a show, what do you think about Palace next week?
3 points. I think that'll be a 2-0. 2-0 home win and start off the home campaign on a high.
Yeah, many times I've been walking to the stadium on the first game thinking, yeah, come on, first game, let's get the season going. And West Brom or whoever, last year it was Stoke, and we never really do well in our first game, but fingers crossed it's like Liverpool a few seasons ago and we can get a win there as well. Would be lovely, wouldn't that be nice? All right, matey. We'll speak again. And the one more thing to say, which is come on, you Spurs.
Yep, come on, you Spurs. Cheers, Steve.